Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Houston, standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Thursday edition of Jeremy and Joe. I went to mute my computer because I heard it, and I accidentally hit the Siri button. And Siri was listening to every word I just said, Joe. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? We're working on some camera issues, but we'll get it figured out.
Yeah, I think you're doing everybody a favor by
all right.
Your camera not working.
I'm going to disconnect the Comrex, and I'm just going to take off the rest of the day.
Don't be a baby. Just because I said that you're doing everybody a favor because your camera's not working, don't be a baby about it.
Fine. I just won't work with you tomorrow, then.
We already know that you betrayed me to go work with Glenn Davis, which I was thinking more about this today, Joe.
Seems like okay. An upgrade.
What's that?
Seems like an upgrade.
Mark Berman over Joe?
No.
Mark Berman will be with me 3-6 tomorrow at East River 9. Yeah. Well, Glenn Davis is far better looking than me. There's no doubt about that.
Best looking host at the station?
Yeah, here at Granado.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, here at Granado. Granado's got like that rugged, you know, middle-aged man look. Mm-hmm. Plus, you know, he's very powerful.
That's true.
Women
he's got
like
the mafia
power,
ties.
You know? They like to be protected. They like to be safe. And I think you get that with Granado, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you get that with Granado. No, but I started to think about this a little bit more, Joe, because you're going to be out at East River 9 tomorrow. Special broadcast hosted by Glenn Davis and Joe George at East River 9. Glenn will be breaking down where each country soccer team is headed this summer. The much-watched groups. Which countries will be playing in Houston? Tune into the draw this Friday. That's tomorrow, 11A to 3P. Draws presented by DME Leasing, D&M Leasing, home of the Easy Lease. So I started wondering, why aren't you doing both? Why aren't you doing both shows, Joe?
I'm driving to LaBerge after.
Why can't you drive to LaBerge at 6 o'clock? It's already on the east side of downtown. It's only, what, 3 hours to get there?
Like,
I mean, you're there by 9. You're there by 9!
Yeah, but the college football games, the playoff game, the conference championship game starts at 7. The one
yeah,
I wanna watch.
You're really riveted by the American Conference, huh?
I am. I want to see who's going to win.
Yeah, you can watch the game as you're driving.
That's illegal.
It's not illegal. You turn it on, you put it through the app, the CarPlay, and you're good to go. Yeah, why aren't you working both shows?
Because I don't need to. I'm being a team player. I'm helping out Glenn.
Are you being a team player, though? Because you're belling on me. I'm a teammate.
I know, but I'm helping Glenn out for this special show.
That's great. I'm happy that you're doing that. I think it's fantastic that you're helping Glenn out for the special show. I'm wondering why you couldn't do 7 hours of radio.
Why did you not do radio when you were in Arizona? You didn't want to?
Arizona?
I think it was when you're UCF, the UCF game.
I took the day off.
I know.
I took the day off. I do 7 hours of radio routinely. I do 7 hours of radio routinely, Joe.
I didn't feel like I wanted to just
didn't feel
one
like
show
it.
For me.
Didn't feel like
that's it.
He's one show. One show, one, Joe.
One show, Joe. Even though I did two shows, this is my second show today because I recorded Rocket Power today.
One show, Joe. It's what you get. Yep. Can't do 7 hours
show,
of
Joe.
Radio. Can you say?
Nope.
Can you spell soft?
S O F T.
S A W F T.
I know that's how you spell it.
Joe Soft can't do 7 hours of radio. One show, Joe. That's
one show, Joe.
What they've always
and guess what?
Them.
And guess what? Guess what, Jeremy?
What?
It's not just me. You know who else isn't working with you tomorrow? Brian.
Brian's not working tomorrow's show either?
Yeah, but you
no,
scheduled
he's with
doing
me.
2 hours
of radio?
Choice. You scheduled it, Joe.
It doesn't matter.
What are
he's
you
with
doing?
Me.
I'm doing the draw. Same show as him.
Yeah. And then you're doing the 2 hours on air?
I'm doing 1 hour with Sean before the draw and then the draw.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but Brian didn't have a choice in the matter.
Yeah, it wasn't my choice.
I asked you.
No, you didn't.
We're learning a lot here in these first
few
minutes of the show.
Don't try to out me, Joe. You didn't ask me.
Joe placed himself
Joe came
on another
one day
show.
He said, hey, just so you know, I don't know what the show's going to be, but you're working it.
I didn't even realize that Joe was traveling tomorrow. So, like, Joe conveniently, let me work the 4 hours prior, and then I'm going to bust it out of town at 3 instead of 6. Going to phrase it as loyalty to the station. This is unbelievable.
It's a hell of a PR spin.
To be honest, if I wasn't doing the show with Glenn tomorrow, I probably would have taken a vacation day.
Okay.
Because I got vacation days to burn. I'm not going to get to use all my vacation days this year even.
So are you using a PTO day tomorrow?
No, because I'm working.
There you go. 713-780-3776. What do we think of Joe working an earlier show tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Belling completely on me, not doing 7 hours of radio so he can get out to the casino at an earlier time so he can watch the American Conference Championship game.
Yep, that's what's happening.
Let's be honest, too. Let's remember that Joe was advocating for James Madison to get the Group of Five bid about 3 weeks ago.
I was. They're not going to get it.
Okay.
I'm going to watch that game, too. I'll be there by 6 o'clock.
713-780-3776. What are your honest thoughts about one show, Joe? Joe, what are your honest thoughts on the Houston Rockets yesterday beating the Sacramento Kings?
First half, not good. I felt like it was 6 straight quarters of sloppy basketball. And then Steven Adams was a monster in the third quarter. He totally changed that game around for the Rockets. So I was really impressed with how they responded in the second half because it felt like it was going to be 2 straight games of just bad unprofessional basketball, as we called it the other day, after they lost to the Jazz. So I thought the first half was ugly. The second half, much, much better.
Yeah, I think it was a professional effort yesterday. If I called the other one unprofessional, I thought yesterday was a professional effort. I actually liked the way that they played in the first half yesterday. I know that they didn't build this massive lead and shots weren't falling and they were sloppy with the basketball, but I liked the energy. Like, they were playing hard. They were playing with good energy. They're out-rebounding Sacramento from the moment the ball was tipped. Like, they just had more gusto in that game yesterday. Look, maybe it was because they were playing the second leg of a back-to-back. I think the second leg of a back-to-back is a poor excuse when you're playing a team who's on the second leg of a back-to-back as well. But yesterday they had great energy throughout the game, even though they trailed by 1 at the half, even though they were sloppy with the basketball. Second half, they just absolutely dominated. Good to see. One of the things that I love about this team, Joe, is how they bludgeon teams on the glass. They out-rebound everybody. They were plus 30 on the boards yesterday. They almost had a bigger margin in rebounds than Sacramento had rebounds. Mm-hmm. They were plus 30 on the glass. Sacramento had 32 boards. I love teams that rebound the basketball, and this Houston Rocket team rebounds the basketball.
Yeah, the defensive rebound numbers are absurd. 45 defensive rebounds to Sacramento's 20. And Sacramento missed a ton of shots. So did the Rockets in this game, as a typical team does. But it's just the fact that they can dominate these teams. And it really doesn't matter who it is. Like, we've seen it be against good teams, against bad teams. And Sacramento's one of the worst rebounding teams in the NBA this year. So, I think it's to be expected. But to out-rebound someone by 30 teams is absurd. It is an absurd number to be able to be that much better at a part of the game than another team in the NBA right now. They were crushing them the entire game, basically.
Yeah, love that. Love that aspect about it. Do you want to know what I love about Kevin Durant and the Alpi Şengün duo?
Everything?
No, specifically one thing, though.
Okay, what's the one thing?
I mean, there's some things I don't love about them. Generally very, very positive on the duo. Love the duo overall. But if I was, nitpicking, I think they were pretty sloppy with the basketball at times. I think they're a little bit turnover prone. I think Şengün a lot of times tries to do the amazing instead of taking the easy play, which leads to either poor shot selection or turnover in the basketball a little bit. What are you laughing at, Brian? Brian's over there cackling behind the glass.
Sean made a joke.
Sean's funny?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No, Sean is pretty funny. Looks like Roaring Kitty. Love Mapes. Anyways, my favorite, what I love about Kevin Durant and Alpi Şengün, I love how selfless they are. Like, and you can nitpick, and there's a lot of things to love as well, all that, whatever. Kevin Durant at this stage of his career is incredibly selfless. His usage rate has never been less. Like, his minutes, I don't think he's ever griping about minutes. He's actually, like, a pleasure to listen to. Like, LeBron James, you watch him at Phoenix, like, in the Phoenix game the other day, he's, like, making jokes with the Suns bench and doesn't know the play that's drawn up for him, and it forces J.J. Redick to take a timeout. Like, Kevin Durant's a student of the game and, like, is a pleasure to be around, it seems. So, I love that about him, but I love his selflessness. And then Alpi Şengün, the same thing. Like, Alpi Şengün is a guy who is a willing passer, and he's also going to make, like, the wise basketball play, right? Like, if you play him one-on-one on the block, what's Alpi Şengün going to do? He's going to take you to school. He's going to score a lot on you. But what happens the moment you send an extra man? He's going to make the right play. He's going to pass the basketball. I love the selflessness that the Rocket star duo has, Joe.
Yeah, I think it's been a pleasant surprise, because I think you could still make the argument that Kevin Durant could have came to Houston and he could have just said, this is my team now, I'm taking over, I'm going to take as many shots as I want, I'm going to have a high usage rate. Instead, he's just worked with the team so well. And I think it really, to me, it goes beyond that. I think collectively this team is pretty selfless. There really doesn't feel like at any time guys are forcing shots in a way that they shouldn't. But I do think specifically to your point, Jeremy, I think it's a good one that those two guys together, the way they work in the pick and roll, like it just works. It's a great connection that the Rockets have building so far this season. I think it's just going to get better too, and it's going to be. I'm still waiting for like the KD takeover game where he just like really dominates a game by himself. And even though he could be selfless, it's just like, this is my kind of night. But it's been really, I think, not really surprising, but a little surprising with how well it's worked together already at this point in the season for me.
Yeah, it's two guys that I think know how to play basketball with just in general. And I think that they've been able to blend each other's games very nicely so far. Durant had that one game where he took over, didn't he? Didn't he have like this insane game where he went nuts in the fourth quarter? I don't like what Basketball Reference is doing with their page. It's very, very confusing. But I think he had one game where he took over the second half, maybe even overtime.
Probably. I'm sure I'm missing one.
He had a 35 burger against Orlando in OT. I think that's the game I'm thinking of, where he kind of went nuts, sent the game to
OT. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So there was that one. But he's very efficient. Most of the time, you're right. Like, he hasn't had that takeover game, which is fine. That's cool. Like, it's early part of the season. No big deal. One thing I would like to see a little bit more, and I saw this yesterday. This is from Amin Thompson. I love when Amin Thompson is ferocious on the floor. I want him to be Mike Tyson on the offensive end. I love when he attacks the rim ferociously.
Spinal.
I want him to spinally do it more often. I feel like he can be a little bit passive at times doing it. In fact, I would love for it to be, okay, outlet pass to Amin, attack the basket every single time. The moment you realize it's not there, then you get in your half-court set. I want to see a little bit more of that, because I think Amin's pretty elite in that category.
Especially because, like, do you think these connect at all? Like, the selflessness of what we're seeing from Alperen and from KD, that some of that's wearing off on Amin this year? Because I do feel like he's generally less aggressive just on field this season than last year. I don't know if the numbers would bear that out, but because he's so dominant when he attacks the paint. I think specifically in transition, because he's really, Sean and I were talking about this earlier, like, he is the best player on the Rockets by a wide margin in transition. So I would like to see more of that too. I'm still really pleased with this game, specifically the fact that he's not taking threes. Like, I think that first game is going to be the anomaly of the season. And it looked like it could have been, you know, where he's trying to take 5-6 threes every game, but he's averaging like one to three at this point every game. So I think it's a fair point to ask Amin to attack more. Also, because I just think there's more to his game that we haven't seen just yet. Like there is another level to him offensively that we're not seeing on a night in and night out basis. That's just going to make this team even better.
What is that? What is it though? Because like I'm not sure that I agree with that. Like I don't think there's an extra dimension of Amin Thompson's offensive game other than aggression. Because like I don't think he's ever going to develop a shot. I know he's going to work on it and all that stuff. I don't think he's ever going to be a good shooter, especially a good shooter with volume. Like maybe he can shoot a good percentage, but he's taking 2 3-pointers a game, something like that. I think that next level is more attitude. I think it's more aggression.
I agree. I don't think it's to develop a jump shot. Like I'd like to see a little bit of a mid range, but just to have, and he's got a decent mid range jumper. I feel like it's not obviously Kevin Durant or even Jabari Smith level at this point, but I just think that next level of offense is what you're saying. It's just being more aggressive, more consistently, like having those matchups that there's very few guys, I feel like, in the NBA right now that were, if they're one-on-one on the perimeter with a man, can slow him down from getting to the bucket. Like, I want more selfishness at this point from a man at times. I want to see him attack. I'm with you. So I think that's just the next level is just what you're asking for. It's just do it more frequently than he's doing right now.
No 30-burger for Reed Shepard, so we can't bury on air Israel just yet. In fact, Reed's had a couple of meh games. I mean, yesterday it's hard to really say meh. He played 28 minutes. He had a plus-minus of +22, although I hate that stat more than I cannot stand plus-minus.
Yeah, what was Alpe's last night? -1?
Yeah. Yeah, Alpe was minus. Get that bum off the floor. But anyways, he came off the bench yesterday, though, Reed Shepard did. Do you like Reed in that role?
It's the best role for him. I just think he's a better fit with the second unit or going against second unit guys. And it's not a knock on him, but there are just certain guys, I feel like when you watch them, they just fit better coming off the bench. I'm not trying to make a comp here, but similar to Jamal Crawford, where Jamal Crawford, early in his career, like they tried to make him a starter in Chicago. It did not work. And when he moved on and started just becoming that sixth, seventh guy off the bench, he just flourished more. And I just feel like Reed flourishes more in that. Now, part of that's because you have Steven Adams out there, right? I think that helps you a lot with what you can do with Reed and not having to put him in the starting lineup. But I think he's just better off the bench. Last night didn't reflect that. But his best games this year have been all off the bench for the most part this season. And it allows you to think more easily ride the hot hand when he comes in with the second unit against backups. So he's just better off there. I just prefer him not in the starting lineup.
Yeah, I think I'm with you for right now. I don't really care who starts basketball games. Like, I think it's another very overrated thing. Like, who cares if you start, but then you play 20 minutes? Like, what if you're coming off the bench and you're playing 35? Like, I think we overrate who's starting games. But I do like that Ime Udoka is pairing, and you brought this up, Reed Shepard and Steven Adams together. We saw it in the first half yesterday, and then they immediately go to a zone. I think Reed Shepard has to play mostly zone defense because he's bad man-on-man. And then it allows Steven Adams to be your anchor in that 2-3 zone, which he's very, very good at. I thought they were going to do the same thing in the second half, but they actually went to man-to-man whenever they brought Reed and Adams into the game. But I like how he staggers those two guys together, bringing them both in. I think it's better feng shui at the moment, keeping Reed and Adams together, also off the bench. Ime was asked about that after the game, and he said, "Yeah, we're going to be game by game. It's going to be case by case. The reason we liked Okogie in the starting lineup today is because they have a couple of like really good scorers, and we wanted to match up defensively. So I'm not sure it's a permanent thing." I like Ime's answer, but I'm totally okay with Reed coming off the bench. So I didn't hear any hyperbolic Hollins again. Like I think somebody might have gotten to in his ear, Joe. I think somebody might have been like, "Hey Ryan, let's tone it down." And in fact, I've heard moments where Hollins is like about to have a hot take, and I've noticed he kind of like tempers it a little bit. Like he doesn't quite go there, and he's also like asking Ackerman, like, "Tell me if I'm wrong. Check me if I'm wrong." So like, I think that Ryan Hollins might be a listener to Jeremy and Joe. I think that we've helped the career of Ryan Hollins.
That or the way he's saying that to Craig, maybe Craig said something to him.
Craig's one of the best. It's a good broadcast team. We're just having fun with them. I enjoy listening to Craig Hollins and Vanessa. They do a great job. We're just, you know, we like to make fun of people and we like to have a little bit of fun. But did you notice anything at all with Hyperbolic Hollins?
Yeah, somehow they got in this discussion of like their favorite classes they took in college.
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
I think Craig said like it was like watching like Alfred Hitchcock movies was his answer. And then Ryan Hollins went into this story about he took a class at UCLA about the Beatles, but it was too hard and he had to drop out of it. And yeah. I was just, I that feels hyperbolic. I don't know. Like, I just don't know if I really believe that a Beatles class can be that hard and that's the reason why you dropped out.
No, I'm buying like, it. I'm buying
You're
it.
You're buying it?
Yeah. What is the favorite class you've ever taken in college? 713-780-3776. I took a class that was the history of rock and roll, and it was very – I can't hear a word you're saying, Brian. I took a class that was the history of rock and roll, and it was very, very hard. So I actually do buy it. I do buy it. And plus, he's a basketball player, so like he has probably some luxuries that other people don't. He probably like bombed the first test. It's like, "Hey, we got to get out of here," so it helps my GPA. I'm actually buying it, Joe.
I can't do it. I can't believe a class about the Beatles would be that challenging.
I mean,
it's a band. How is a classic rock class that hard? Jeremy.
Well, it's still like it'd be the same thing as a history class. Yeah. You're still memorizing facts and dates, right. and you can
make it as challenging figures. As you want.
Yeah. Just because the subject is a more fun subject than ancient Greece, it doesn't change what you're trying to do.
Yeah. Where did Ringo Starr attend elementary school? Like, I don't know, man. Like, it can be pretty difficult. You start going into the history, like the deep history of the Beatles and maybe their upbringing and stuff like that. Like, what is Ringo Starr's favorite lunchtime meal? You know, it could be difficult, Joe.
I guess it could. But
Shepherd's and pie, probably. I don't know.
Yeah. Would you just assume he's bad at all history classes then?
I mean,
Are you bad at all history classes then?
Why do you say am I bad at history classes?
Because you said you dropped out, or you said your classic
didn't say
rock,
I dropped
class
out.
Was hard.
I said the history of rock and roll. We learned from Chevy Checker to
I'm surprised you took that, because you famously say you don't really know that much about music.
I didn't say I don't know a lot about music. I said I'm very bad at music.
Okay, tomato, tomato to me, but still.
Yeah, it's different.
I
appreciate music.
If you know you're bad at music, then I'll rephrase it.
But
why'd you take it?
There's a thing being bad at music, because it was an elective. It was like that or orchestra. Me the history of rock and roll, baby. We learned from Fat Domino's to Chubby Checker to Elvis Presley to Michael Jackson to like New Day. It was an awesome class. I loved that class.
That sounds great.
That class was great, but it was more challenging than you would think. Like, the tests were pretty hard. So, like, I actually do buy that because of my own personal experience with the history of rock and roll. Yeah.
I just thought
Vandermeer should have taken that class. Rock and roll! No, I'm buying it. Are you buying Ryan Hollins that he dropped out of a Beatles class at UCLA? 713-780-3776. What is the favorite subject you took in college, assuming that you jabronis even went to college? 713-780-3776. Certainly the Twitchers did not. We know that. They're at home right now in their mother's basement.
A fat guy in his underwear living in his mother's basement.
Go to school? You can't participate in this question, Twitch. 713-780-3776. Plenty to get to today. We're going to be joined by Lee Sterling. He's going to hand out winners. Adam Rohn is getting you right for the final regular season week of most fantasy football leagues. Glenn Davis, co-host with one Joe George, tomorrow for the draw. He'll be joining us at 5:30 to preview the excellence of the draw. 713-780-3776. We are on Twitch. Be tread with caution. Twitch.tv/ESPN975 or on YouTube at ESPN Houston. TikTok at ESPN975. Joe's at Joe George Radio there. I'm at Jeremy J. Branham there. In fact, I just TikToked. What do you call a TikTok post? Just a post? Like tweet or Twitter? You call it a tweet.
A talk?
You call it, I think it's just a post.
Okay.
I think it's just a post.
Yeah, I think it's just a post. I just posted at Jeremy J. Branham. Also on Twitter, ESPN975. Joe's at Joe George Radio. Brian's at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Will you entertain Giannis? Will you entertain Giannis to Houston? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN975, 97.9 HD2.
All right, something I will entertain, and as I do almost every day, is heading on down to Burger Chain after work. And, you know, the great thing with that is they used to close at 3. They used to close on Mondays as well, but they've extended their hours, so you have plenty of time to try all that award-winning food. They're now open on Mondays for lunch service, and Wednesday through Saturday, so including tonight if you're in the area. They're at 5353 West Alabama in the Gallery area. They're open for dinner service until 9 o'clock, so make sure you stop on by. And hopefully you've taken advantage of the Victory Monday promotion we have in our partnership with Burger Chan, because every Victory Monday the Texans have won 4 in a row. Started with Money Mills, and CJ Stroud picked right up where he left off. 4 weeks in a row the Texans have won. 4 weeks in a row you've been able to get a free side with your entree at Burger Chan. So, you know, you get the burger, you get the chicken sandwich, fried fish sandwich is great, hot dog's great. They have turkey burgers if you want to be a little healthier. They have breakfast sandwiches as well, which is served all day. You get any of that on Monday after a Texans win, and you get your side for free. And no matter what you get, you're going to get an award-winning meal, because Burger Chan, in both 2023 and 2024, named a top 100 restaurant in the entire country. It's an elite meal for an elite team that's 4 wins in a row. Hopefully, they pick up another win this weekend against the Chiefs, and you'll get a free entree or a free side with your entree on Monday. So make sure you stop by Burger Chan. Again, extended hours, now open for dinner service Wednesday through Saturday. The Texans win the day after you stop by. Say, my name, Brian, ESPN 97.5, or just say, go Texans, get a free side with your entree. Burger Chan, best burgers in the city. Find them at 5353 West Alabama, or visit them online and see their full menu at BurgerChanHTX.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe, live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. I'm Jeremy, the Huntington Bank bad boy. Lamont says favorite class in college, graphical user interface development, Cal 3, systems analysis and design, quantitative decision making. These are the courses that pay my bills right now. Double majored in math, CS. My electives were major courses. Look at Lamont flexing right there.
That's a huge flex.
I took elective classes and honors, and it pays my bills right now. I'm smarter than y'all. Y'all just got a journalism degree and do radio. You might not even have a journalism degree. I think, what are you, like liberal arts or some stupid degree like that, Joe?
I have a radio broadcasting degree.
From a liberal arts school?
From an art school.
That's weird.
I went to a liberal arts school first, and then I went to an art school. Yes.
I got you. The Twitch is saying that Brian went to ITT Tech. Brian ITT left the studio. He's gone. Mapes is there. What's happened here? Hey, you think you would let the talent know, hey, we're going to have a little tag team production here. Our producer's going to leave. We're going to have somebody else tap in. You think we would let the talent know? Brian just goes rogue and leaves.
He had to get something from his truck.
My goodness.
He's back. Hey,
Brian, next time you leave the studio, you want to give the talent a heads up? Hey, I'm stepping out for a second. Mapes is taking over. Son of a gun, that was good. That was a great response. I hate to admit it, but that was fantastic. That's the best possible response you could have had, and I hate to admit it. Gosh, son of a gun. Let's go out to the HRMP listener.
Brian 1, Jeremy 0.
7. I know, he's owning me this week.
Yeah, he's crushing
you. 4 in a row?
Yeah.
Yeah.
3-0 on Tuesday, I think.
Go make me a roll from Texas Roadhouse University. Anyways, HRMP listener line. Jason, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Jason?
Hey, man. Yeah, I had a college class. It was a summer class. It was the history of sports. I had that or the history of food. Those were the two choices.
Wow.
So I took the history of sports.
Where'd you go to school?
And I thought it was Lamar in Beaumont.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, Pecker Tech.
How'd you do?
Well, we had, speaking of this class, the summer class, so the doors were open. Wasn't many people there. And then every day, the history of food guys were leaving right after class started. They all leave together. Well, they ended up getting to go eat lunch every day on the school's dime while we had to sit there and read a bunch of books.
Wow.
For the entire duration of this class. So I really made the wrong choice.
Yeah, you did. Appreciate the call, Jason. That's awesome. Those are two great classes. History of food sounds like it'd be hard, though, you know? Like, what do you have to put together to make bread? Like, I don't know. I don't want to learn that. But eating would be cool.
It sounds so open-ended.
Yeah.
Of just, like, all the things they could make you learn.
Yeah, but you're eating on the school's dime sounds pretty good. That's the stuff you learn in Beaumont, I guess. Here you go. Let's learn food, Beaumont. My favorite class is lunch, says another junkie. Do y'all that went to school for journalism and those kind of degrees get upset, seeing former meatheads McAfee take over the radio, TV, podcast industry, Keith? I couldn't care less.
No, it's always been like that.
Yeah, I couldn't care less about that. Nope, doesn't bother me at all. I took golf as an elective in college, and for our final exam, you had a par three to receive an A. One over was a B, and so on and so forth. That sounds unfair.
That's great.
That sounds unfair.
Just
like what?
One shot at it?
Yeah, but like imagine one semester though. If like you have win that day, like it does. Like, are you grading on a bell curve? Like, it feels unfair to me.
Well,
I don't like the grading process.
If you only have one shot at it, I mean, you hit 99 great shots, but you're judged on the one bad one.
Right. It sounds like a terrible way to do the class.
I feel like you have to like pick the weather. Like it's not. It's gonna be like a surprise final. Like you can't do it on a windy day. You have to do it on a perfect day. To do it.
Yeah. I think I took a golf class in junior college, actually. But whenever I would take Spanish classes, Joe, I would pretend like I was white and a gringo. And, like, I would say Spanish words, like, in a very gringo way. That way that, like, the Mexican Spanish teacher wouldn't grade me on a curve. Because I felt like they would. I felt like if the teacher knew that I knew Spanish, that she would grade me harsher than if I didn't.
So you could pass 100%. For a gringo?
Don't you? Yeah, of course I can. Like, I'm mostly gringo anyways. Like, I'm half and half, but I can't roll my R's. My Spanish is at an elementary level. But, right, like, I made the right decision there, right? Faking it, acting gringo.
I did the same thing in, like a low-level computer class in junior college.
Right, they grade you on a
I pretended I didn't know how to do anything, and then I just coasted.
Yeah, I was like, keto, queso. Like, I would do it so obvious. A lot of women in Beaumont know food, says a junkie. We're not doing that. We're not going to call the women in Beaumont big boned and big backed. We're not doing that. 713-780-3776.
I don't think the text server said big boned.
Golf at Lamar. I was already about a 7 handicap at the time. I only A that semester. That's pretty good. 7 handicap's pretty good. My dad always tells me never to hire somebody with a single-digit handicap because they spend too much time golfing. Mm. But that sounds like a fun class. I'm the youngest of 4 siblings. I was the only one to even graduate high school. I'm lucky I can even spell the word college. Congratulations, junkie. Don't worry if you don't ever go any further than that. Favorite college classes were an American history class and a philosophy class. I love history, and both classes had the 2 best professors I ever had. Eric the Buyer. It's a cool story, Eric the Buyer. Does community college count? Why not? Philosophy, says another. History of the Beatles was offered at UT. It was awesome. Followed all eras of the Beatles and the drugs they were on that led to that era.
That's great.
That's pretty cool.
Drugs. Keep Austin weird.
The only one that I know is the psychedelic era. What other eras did the Beatles have?
I don't know. I know they were on like LSD at one point, but I don't know about, I assume acid, but I don't know what else they took.
The world is your oyster. I took history of rock at SFA back in 03, bombed that class. It wasn't easy. I'm telling you, it was not easy. Junkie says Hollins went crazy when Kevin Durant did a basic layup the other night versus Utah. Craig keeps it real. Hollins does lose his mind a little bit. It's kind of funny.
I feel like that's where it's transitioned, where he's not saying things now. He's over. He's kind of going full Tony Romo at times, which is not great.
Interesting. All right. Will you entertain the idea of Giannis? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. First, a moment on Pro Dunk Hoops. You already know they make the highest quality basketball goals that you'll find. Tempered glass backboard gives you that true, authentic feel. Breakaway rim, stainless steel hardware. It's rust-proof. It's height adjustable, anywhere from 5 feet to 10 feet. Their accessories are top-notch, next level. LED light kits for night play because it's dark all the time now. Backstop nets, pole pad lettering, and lots more. Plus, you already know what month we're in. We're in December. We're 3 weeks away from Christmas, so act fast. But a goal from Pro Dunk is the best Christmas gift that you can give your family. It's the gift that keeps them active. It's the gift that keeps everybody together. It's the gift that keeps people having fun for years. In fact, one of my fondest memories as a kid were the holidays that the Branhams would get together and throw elbows and pound each other on the basketball. Well, it was really playing in the driveway, on the blacktop even. But do this for your family. Give them a goal from Pro Dunk this Christmas season. You're going to love it. Pro Dunk basketball goals built to last. Heavy duty steel construction. It's got that rust resistant powder coating. Professional grade tempered glass backboards that deliver pro performance right in your driveway. We mentioned it's height adjustable. It's so easy to do. From youth to regulation, Pro Dunk grows with your family, whether it's a game of horse or perfecting that jump shot, or maybe you're just throwing down some slams. You don't have any time for all that other stuff, and you're throwing down some yams. Also, the pros from Pro Dunk will professionally install that goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't have to do a thing. Let the pros do that work for you. So give them a call right now. Also visit them online, produnk.com. That's the best way. Online at produnk.com.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2. You're back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. Someone said, Jeremy, you're barely Mexican. See, I told you, that's what people think of me. I took a summer physics class at Lamar, and a professor shot a .22 rifle in class for part of an experiment. 409 Josh.
Nice.
There's some physics experiment that I partially remember, but I can't remember it totally, so I'm just going to shut up. Can we make fun of other texters here? Of course you can. 713-780-3776. Make as much fun of them as you wish. 713-780-3776. All right. Giannis, he wants out. All this. Scrubbing his social media. Blah, 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 blah. Also had a calf strain yesterday, which isn't fun. But would you entertain the idea, Joe, of Giannis to Houston?
I've been thinking about this a lot. My initial thought was yes, I would. But then the more I thought about just the fact that they're going to demand either Amen or Alpi, that's where I struggle with this. If there was a way to do the trade without including one of those two guys, and I know that's virtually impossible, but between Tari Eason and Fred VanVleet's contract and Reese Shepard and draft capital you have, if you could pull that off somehow, I would be interested in it. And honestly, I think the Rockets have a better package with those pieces than anything like the New York Knicks could put together. Obviously, the problem there is if Giannis is saying he only wants to go to the Knicks and he'll be due for a contract in the near future, like that obviously causes a wrinkle to it. So if it includes Alpi and Amen, I think at this point I'm a no. I want to see how it plays out the rest of the season. In the offseason, I would have been an absolute yes. Do it. But with what we've seen from the Rockets so far this year, with this current roster in place, the way Amen, the way Alpi has stepped up, the way they're playing with Kevin Durant, I don't think you need Giannis right now. I think you can save those draft assets for a player down the road or just use them when they come time.
Okay, Kevin Durant's window is not that big. So, like, what is your primary motive or desire to win a title while Durant's still here? Because if you say you have 3 years of Kevin Durant, kicking the can down the road so much, are you ever going to win that title? So I guess, like, to me, what your desire is very important. Like, is Rafael Stone going to, like, just, you know, abandon all, you know, whatever to try to go win a title this year? Or is he playing the long game? Because I understand both sides of it. I understand having the long game in mind, all these draft picks, all of that. But I also realize that Kevin Durant's no spring chicken and he isn't going to be around forever and trying to strike when the iron is hot to win yourself a title. So I understand both sides of the equation. I'm kind of on the fence. The first thing for me is I'm not trading for him while he's hurt. Like, he's going to be out 2 to 4 weeks with a calf strain. Like, I want to see him play basketball before I'm trading for Giannis. Like, mm-hmm. That's just a non-starter for me. And you bring up a good point about if, you know, Giannis is going to dictate where he goes. Just like James Harden dictated where he went. These superstars dictate where they're going to go. If Giannis doesn't want to play in Houston, Giannis won't be a Houston Rocket. But ESPN today, they had like 5 or 6 teams that, you know, the realistic trade for Giannis, blah, 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 blah. Their trade didn't include Alpi and Amen. It included one of them. Rockets get the two brothers, Giannis and however you say his brother's name, Thanasis. And the Bucks get Alpi Şengün, Fred VanVleet, and the Phoenix Suns' unprotected 2027 first-round pick. So would you do that?
No. Honestly, I think I'd rather trade Amen. Are Amen and Giannis too similar to play together? Wouldn't that be a concern?
You keep moving the goalposts here, though, Joe. Like, this is the trade offer that we have presented in front of us. Would you make this trade?
No, I would not.
I'll be honest with you, and I hate doing this. I hate being on the fence. I hate doing that because we're supposed to have strong takes. I'm on the fence on this one. If they made this trade, I don't think my heart would be broken. Now, would I make this trade? I don't know. I'm on the fence. Giannis is a better basketball player than Alpi Şengün. Like, we can all agree to that. Can we all agree that Giannis is better than Alpi?
Not even close.
Okay. So Giannis is better than Alpi. So if you're trying to win a championship over the next 3 years, and that is your primary goal, why wouldn't you make this trade?
You're right. If they want to go all in, and honestly, the reason why this trade is good is that you still have a lot of your assets that you want to keep going forward. Like, if you could find a way to make this deal and not have to include both the Suns and the Nets pick in 2027, still have one of those assets, you still have pieces for another move if you want to make one. Like, for another, you know, mid-level player or, you know, close to star-level player and use that pick. So, yeah, if you want to win a championship this year, it makes a lot of sense. I just don't want to trade Alpi. I'm a firm believer in, like, what he's going to be down the road. And now, and it's hard not to, this conversation feels very different yesterday, right, than today because of the calf injury. But, like, I'm terrified he's just going to tear his Achilles as soon as he gets to Houston if you made this deal right now.
That's my hang-up, too.
Is there a way to do this deal without Thanasis?
You keep trying. It doesn't matter. You're just going to – he's going to be around. Why are you so worried about Thanasis?
I'm just annoying. Like, do you have to sign the other one, too? Because there's three. There's another brother.
I don't know.
He loves Akeem.
He loves Akeem, though, by the way. Giannis
he does. He's worked with Akeem.
I think Giannis is a better basketball player than Alpi Şengün. Like, we just had a junkie text in. That trade doesn't make the Rockets better today. Completely disagree. Completely disagree. If you inserted Giannis into this Rockets lineup in the place of Alpi Şengün, you're a better basketball team. You're better.
100%.
You're better. Now, assuming health here. He says that you still need a point guard. Yeah, but that's also true. But, like, you're not trading Alpi for a point guard. Like, nah. Ocho says Giannis might be a better player than Alpi, but is he a better fit? See, that's a fair question. I still think he'd be a fine fit, though. Like, he does so much. Giannis is also a better three-point shooter than Alpi Şengün, by the way.
Is he really?
Alpi in his career is a 28.6% career three-point shooter. Alpi Şengün, did I say Alpi first? Alpi's 28.6 three-point career shooter. Giannis is the exact same. This year, Alpi's shooting really good, 38.5. Giannis is actually shooting 43.5.
I didn't realize.
Giannis averaging 29 a game. Alpi averages 23 a game. Giannis rebounds better, a full rebound ahead of him. Now, Alpi does have a full assist ahead of him. Now, the hang-up here is their age. Alpi's 23 years old. Giannis is about to be 31 in a couple of days.
But you think he's what, got? How many years do you think Giannis has left? Assuming his Achilles is okay here.
His style, I don't know, three, four years?
Three or four?
He doesn't have like Durant's game, you know? Like Kevin Durant can, I feel like, get you 20 points his entire life, you know? Because he's lanky, you know, he doesn't rely on his athleticism as much as Giannis. Giannis, like when that athleticism goes, I think he's going to have a pretty steep decline.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason why I'd be hesitant to make this move in general is that if you get him, what if he hits his decline starting next season? You know, I think everyone at this point, we keep pointing to guys like, you know, LeBron James and Kevin Durant and Steph Curry who are just continuing to play at, you know, these elite levels at an older age. And it's just, I think it's clouded our view of reality. With what these players are when they're aging. So that's the other concern. So if he falls off a cliff, you've now given up, you know, Alpi, who's probably not hit his prime yet, and young other future draft capital for a guy that could be, you know, a way less version of himself in just 12 months.
I don't know if it's 12 months. I think this gives you by far a better chance of winning a title in the next 3 years. By far. Like Kevin Durant signed the 2-year extension, right? So you have Kevin Durant under contract for 3 years. Is that right? He signed a 2-year extension this year. I think it's 3 years. In the Kevin Durant length of his current contract, making that trade that ESPN suggested, in my opinion, gives you a better chance to win the title in the next 3 years. I think ultimately I wouldn't sacrifice the future, though, that you have with Alpi Şengün. I lean no to this trade, quite frankly, and maybe the injury yesterday is what swings it for me. I'm always more of a future guy, like keep them together for the future. The future matters. But I'm wondering if I'm being too much of a future hugger here and I'm sacrificing a better chance at a title the next 3 years. Because I do firmly believe that trading for Giannis gives you a better chance to win a title while Kevin Durant is a Houston Rocket.
Okay, is there any chance he's faking it?
Yeah, I thought about that. I don't know.
And this is just like a ploy to get him off the court and not have to keep playing. And the Bucks are probably in on this if he is. And he's okay.
The pushback I would have on that is like, why this injury if you're faking it? Because how many guys have we seen that have the calf injury and like Tyler with Halliburton, you know, eventually he tears his Achilles? Like that could have a real detrimental effect on his trade value.
No, it wouldn't.
If you fear that he might be like one bad step away from Achilles tear?
No, I don't think so. Like the Knicks. Like, he wants to go to the Knicks, according to all reports. What the Knicks were offering yesterday morning, I think would be the same they're offering this morning.
I guess my thought is I would go with something far more minor if I was trying to keep him out to protect him while also not hurting his trade value.
Yeah, I just don't think it changes anything.
I think an Achilles tears.
He's on an Achilles tear.
I know, but that's the fear when guys start talking about their calf because of recent history.
Yeah, so. If you don't rest at all that. I really don't think it affects anything. I don't think the Knicks would change their offer from yesterday to today. I really don't.
No, I think they might wait, though.
They could wait.
That's what the reports are around Anthony Davis right now, is that because he's dealing with a calf injury that, you know, the Mavs are going to try to unload him, but teams are going to want to see him play, you know, 10 to 20 games just to make sure he's not going to, you know, tear his Achilles immediately, because he probably will if it's that serious of calf injury, the way we've seen it play out recently. So that I think is fair. Like, I don't know if I would – I don't know if anyone should trade for Giannis right now and give up valuable assets until you see him back on the court.
Do we all agree that you would be more of a title contender this year?
Yes.
Like, if you traded for Giannis, the odds would increase.
Yes. Assuming he's
right. Like, we all agree that. Yes. I'm surprised with as many people are like, no, adamantly no. Two non-shooters and a min and Giannis. Giannis is a better shooter than Alpi. And also the Rockets won yesterday by making 5 3-pointers. And imagine what this does to the defensive end, too. Like, oh, my goodness. Good luck scoring on the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, the Rockets this year are last, at least last time I checked, they are last in the NBA in three-pointer attempts in the entire league, but they were at one point first in the NBA in made percentage. Like, they are playing a totally different style of basketball than the rest of the league. And so, like, while I wonder how also a men and Giannis pair together, if this is their plan to take less threes and to just be efficient with them, that's where it's not a concern. So, like, if this is what they're going to be going forward, that's how it can work.
Yeah. Ime talked about that yesterday. He said, we're taking what the game gives us. Other teams are cheating a little bit out at the three-point line, so we're going to, you know, abuse them in the paint, which, yeah, let the game speak to you. All right, 713-780-3776. What if I told you that Nick Kaley was not hired for C.J. Stroud? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2. Higgins Boat Rum, you need to get your hands on it. However you do it, you need to get your hands on it. You can get it out at the Total Wine in Baybrook, Total Wine in Pearland. You're going to love it, especially this time of year. Why? Because, hey, it's a little stressful this time of year. And Higgins Boat Rum alleviates your stress. But also, it's a great gift idea. Ships to 48 states across the U.S. at HigginsBoatRum.com. Send it to that second cousin that you're not going to buy, you're not going to see this holiday season. You can ship it to his doorstep. Maybe it's your first cousin. I don't know how you roll. But get your hands on Higgins Boat Rum. Rum anchored in time, known as the Texas Bourbon Drinker's Rum. It is bold. It is smooth. It is fantastic. They use the Prosecco Craft technology that we've all grown to love. It makes Higgins Boat Rum smoother, enhances that natural flavor, that natural aroma, and then it gets rid of all the bad stuff, removes all the harsh elements, maybe even some of the stuff that makes you feel bad in the morning. But Higgins Boat Rum is steeped in history, too. Honors the greatest generation. You hear it there in the name. Higgins Boat, which was the iconic landing craft that turned the tide in World War II. But Higgins Boat Rum donates 10% of profits from every bottle to Camp Hope to support our veterans. So you're honoring heroes with every pour. You got to tip your cap to that. It's excellent for crafting your Texas-inspired cocktails. Perfect to drink, you know, perfect to drink neat. Perfect to drink on the rocks. I prefer a big rock. I've been drinking my old fashioned with it. Very good there, too. It's eggnog season. Eggnog's not for me. Might be for you. And if you like eggnog, try it with some Higgins Boat Rum and elevate your eggnog game. Follow Higgins Boat Rum on all their social media accounts. Funny account. Great account. You're going to like it. But you're going to get tasty cocktail ideas, live updates about your new favorite rum, and then behind-the-scenes stories and live updates, too. A premium top-shelf rum at a great price. You can get it now. HigginsBoatRum.com. Ships to 48 states at HigginsBoatRum.com. Not just a drink, but a tribute.
ESPN 97.5. It's Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy, we're Jeremy and Joe. What if I told you, this was like a 30 for 30, what if I told you that Nick Kaley was not hired for C.J. Stroud? It doesn't sound great, right? Offensive coordinator needs to be synonymous with his quarterback. But I was listening to D'Amico Ryan's the other day. I think this was on their All Access on their YouTube with Rock and Roll and John Harris, which he's always a little bit more friendly with those guys than he is the media. He doesn't scoff at them nearly as much as he does the media. He's usually more insightful, too. So that's why I enjoy listening to him on the Houston Texans YouTube. But he was asked about the offense and all this stuff, and he said something where I was like, you know what? I think that Nick Haley's hire, it didn't have anything to do with C.J. Stroud, but it had everything to do with how D'Amico Ryans wants to play football. Take a listen, Joe George.
As I tell our guys, I want to methodically just drive down the field. Take our time, methodically drive down the field, just get positive plays, whatever that looks like. We don't have to always go for the chunk play, explosive play, just throwing it up, a 50-50 ball. No, let's methodically get guys open. Let's make great decisions with the football. Let's mix in our run, our play action pass, and let's just drive down. And once we get across midfield, now we're in striking distance. Now let's go score.
Okay. So some buzzwords that I hear there, Joe, that make me think that this isn't necessarily the guy for Stroud, but more about the entire organization, how they want to play football, how they want to win. What side of the ball does D'Amico Ryans, A, play, B, coordinate prior to his time with the Texans?
Defense.
Okay, so he's a defensive-minded guy. Let's establish that. He talked about being methodical up the field. What does being methodical up the field do in terms of, like, time of possession?
It helps your offense, keeps your defense off the field.
Okay, keeps your defense off the field. I've heard defensive-minded head coaches tell me this, that it's really hard for your defense to allow points when they're off the field, whenever they're sitting on the sidelines, which is obvious because your offense is on the field. The other thing he talked about was explosive plays. Like, we don't need to be explosive. We want to be methodical. You know, move the ball downfield, time of possession, all of this. Remember Bobby Slowick, one of the things that he would always talk about with his offense? Like, what is your identity, Bobby Slowick, when he wasn't saying this?
Football is football.
He talked about explosive plays with their identity, which explosive plays are great, but they're volatile. And if they're not working, that means your offense is off the field. It could put your defense in a very difficult spot. I believe that Nick Haley was not hired for C.J. Stroud. I think he was hired for D'Amico Ryans and his defense, Joe.
Oh, that sucks, man.
I'm sorry that it took me 13 weeks to realize this, but tell me where I'm wrong.
No, you don't sound wrong at all. I want you to be wrong, and I want him just to be saying these things, Jeremy, because that's what the reality of the offense is right now. But this also, it goes back to, you know, death by a thousand cuts, right? Like, we've heard that before how many times this year. It's, you know, slowly prodding down the field, you know, taking time off the clock, and just being efficient on offense. You're right. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like he was brought in to help D'Amico's defense, and that's just the philosophy of offense that you want to run. And that's fine. Like, you want to run a philosophy, that's okay. I get it. I get why you do it, but that's also why coaches get fired.
Whoa.
Because you have to hire a coordinator
Whoa.
To fit to your quarterback, not to fit to the offense that you want to run. It's part of the reason why Bobby Slowick struggled last year, is he wanted to run this 49er system that they could not run in Houston effectively. And he's out. And also maybe because he likes explosive plays. Maybe D'Amico Ryans doesn't like that. I hate that you're right here.
Why?
Because you want a coordinator for your quarterback, not for your defense.
Look, I'm not even sure that it's a bad thing, though. Like, I'm bringing it to light. Like, D'Amico wants to run this style of offense, and I think it better caters his defense than it does C.J. Stroud. I think C.J. Stroud would excel, like, in a spread. I'm not even sure this is the wrong thing, though. Because the Texans' defense is their strength. The Texans' defense is far better than their offense. Even if you optimized the Texans' offense, they're not as good as the defense. Texans have the number one defense in the NFL. So, to sidebar point, I'm not sure D'Amico Ryans is wrong to hire an offensive coordinator that better fits the defense, which is more of an identity of this football team than it is the offense. You're kind of strengthening a strength whenever you do something like that. And I'm also not sure that it's not the best way to win football games. I hate three and outs. I hated the Bobby Slowick, let's chunk it 25 yards down the field on a third down and four. So while I'm exposing this, I'm also saying that I don't think it's wrong.
Really?
I don't think it best benefits C.J. Stroud. I think a spread offense would benefit C.J. Stroud more. Heck, his career year was with Bobby Slowick as a rookie. Mm-hmm. So I don't think this offense benefits C.J. Stroud the most. But I do think it benefits the Houston Texans the most, specifically on the defensive side of the ball and playing to a strength.
Do you think there's anything in here to D'Amico feeling like he has to do this because there's limitations within his quarterback. That maybe they, like they do think this is the best offense for CJ.
No, I don't think that it's a limitation for CJ. I think it's more we're willing to sacrifice a little bit of CJ's statistical numbers if our offense can stay on the field a little bit more and play to our defensive strength. I don't think it's a limitation to CJ, no.
Because I still think the best version of him we've seen in that rookie year was when he had the explosive plays with Tank Dell. And they have not been able to replicate that since. And you look at the guys, like we talked about Jalen Noel a lot this year and his role in the offense and how it's been getting less and less. Well, he's more of that explosive guy, whereas Jaden Higgins is he's like a Nico Collins light in a lot of ways. Like he's a possession receiver. He's moving the chains. Except that one time this last weekend. But it does fit to what he's saying, the style of offense. It makes more sense. It makes me understand more of what we're seeing. I still think they hired an offensive coordinator, though, who can't call a play to save his life in the red zone. That's ultimately the problem. This can work if you can figure out the red zone stuff. They can't figure that out.
No, they need to figure that out. There's no doubt about that. That's something that has to be fixed for this team to reach their potential, all that. The best thing to do is trade CJ, get drafts, and you find a game manager. No, because I do think that CJ Stroud could be very good in this offense. I don't think it would be the best CJ Stroud we would ever see in our lives, but give me CJ Stroud over some random game manager. All defensive-minded head coach want a strong running game type offense to better help the defense. Facts, that's what we're seeing here. The best coaches and coordinators fit their scheme to the players. They don't try to force players into their schemes. Yes, but schemes can be more volatile than others. And I would argue that the best coaches, in this case we're talking about D'Amico, is trying to put an offense together that best suits his defense and the entirety of the team. I'm not sure he's wrong here, because the defense is light years better than the offense.
But wouldn't a different scheme and offensive coordinator?
Not if it's more volatile, Joe. Because like, let's say you run a Bobby Slowick offense, and you're more dependent of explosive plays, and you're more volatile. Maybe you move the ball a little bit better yards per game. Maybe you score a little bit more points per game, but you also increase the number of three and outs, and you decrease the number of time of possession that you have game in and game out, and it brings the entire team down a level. You might be able to level up a little bit offensively, but if you do that in a volatile way, it brings down the level of defense. So it's a bit of a trade-off here.
That's fair. I just my pushback is, The texture was right. This is a lot of times like the kind of offense you want to run, the style of making keeping the defense off of the field as much as possible. That's what you want to see from. That's what you typically see from defensive head coaches. But I feel like that's also why they don't win Super Bowls, right? Like they don't win. They don't win the big games because eventually you have to score. You have to have explosive plays.
No, you don't have to. I mean, I never looked at the Patriots with Tom Brady as a team that had an explosive offense outside the year they had Randy Moss, which ironically they never won a title with Moss.
I mean, they were pretty explosive, I think, with Gronk still, wouldn't you say?
I don't think Gronk you would call as an explosive player. Like Gronk was
big chunk plays at least.
He kind of more catch and run, yeah.
Sure.
But no, I never looked at the Patriots offense as this explosive offense. Ever.
No.
Other than the year they had Randy Moss. He went nuts. And they actually were undefeated that regular season and then, of course, lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl.
You're right, but it's just it's also Tom Brady's offense. Right? Like, no one can really be compared to that. That's the problem.
Yes. I mean, that's what they're trying to build, though. I mean, they're watch videos of Tom Brady and the Patriots offense.
I know.
That's what they're trying to do. Junkie, you guys are creating your own narrative. Ryan's, I'm sure, thought Kaylee would help develop and make Stroud successful. Why would D'Amico hire a crappy OC and risk his job? No one's saying he's crappy. It's just a different style. It's a different philosophy and a style and a philosophy that might not suit Stroud, but overall suit the Houston Texans better as an entire organization, not just one side of the ball. Okay, 713-780-3776. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports. He gives you winners each and every week. Lee Sterling handing out some gems when we come back. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. two. Football season's in full swing. We're in December already. This is when football season really kicks up. There's an old saying in football, the season doesn't really start until after Thanksgiving. That might be true, but Underdog is especially the place, especially after Thanksgiving. It's the best place to get in on all the action all season long. You're in Texas. I think Texas is the best place to make picks and win money on Underdog. You can do it now. Just download the Underdog app, and when you do, enter that promo code KILLERB, K-I-L-L-E-R-B, and you're going to score $100 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. Put down the value meal today. Don't get that greasy hamburger and greasy fries, and instead spend that money on Underdog. Get $100 in bonus entries, and then you're really going to eat. Playing on Underdog is easy. Pick whether your favorite players or go higher or lower on stats like rushing yards, receptions, touchdowns, much, much more. You get your picks right, you can up to 5,000 times your cash, and you can play with as little as $1. We got a great Thursday night game tonight, don't we? Dallas and Detroit, loving this one. You know ball, go prove it. Jared Goff, 252.5 passing yards. You like the higher or lower there? He's going to be without one of his best receivers. Dak Prescott has been on a roll. 273.5 passing yards for Dak. Do you like the higher or the lower there? CeeDee Lamb, 84.5 receiving yards. George Pickens, 82.5 receiving yards. Jahmyr Gibbs, 80.5 rushing yards. Lots to play. Lots to play, and I have confidence in you that you're going to get your picks right and potentially win 5,000 times your cash. Download the Underdog app right now. Sign up with promo code KILLERB, and you're going to get $100 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. Promo code KILLERB, K-I-L-L-E-R-B. What are you waiting for? Underdog. Make picks. Win money.
Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS_HTML for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
Guess who?
ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.